to galacticconnection.com, one of the most popular blogs on the World Wide Web today for alternative news. Stay tuned for the latest information on our world shift from enslavement to galactic involvement, as well as current intel on any blockages impeding us from our sovereign birthright. Knowledge and self-mastery are key at this time. Our commitment is to present you with the latest breaking conspiratorial articles, off-world messages, exopolitics, cutting-edge technologies and sciences, and also an ever-significant intertwining of spiritual support and metaphysical scope that one needs to dive down the rabbit hole and search for truth with balance. We are truly on the horizon of a new golden age filled with the promise for more love, worldwide peace, and accelerated intuitive skills, where every living being can exist in cohesion and abundance. It is whatever we envision and dream this new world to be. I say to you now, let's redefine the new world to the beginnings of our own precious heaven on earth. Galactic Connection is here to provide the pulse of Mother Earth through an eclectic range of interviews each Tuesday afternoon from 3 to 4:55 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, Station 2 on BBS Radio, expanding your perspectives on how we can once and for all take back our freedoms, our joy, and our connection with our mighty I Am presence. Our intention remains true to connect hearts and minds everywhere in order to obtain global unity and galactic and universal acceptance. Our discussions will continue to cover anything to do with galactic society and our involvement with our galactic brothers and sisters. Our guests are experts in their fields, and our radio shows have been coined as some of the most thought-provoking out there. In addition to our daily blog, which runs 365 days a year, we also offer a realm of healing services such as our world-renowned implant removal processes, our spiritual past life clearings, our galactic violet ray alchemy from Alexandra, who shares in the lineage of Merlin, and other cutting-edge healing technologies. Check our site out at galacticconnection.com now. Sending you a wave of light, love, and inspiration, and a personal hug and thank you for listening to our Galactic Connection radio show and visiting our blog today. Good morning, everyone. This is Alexandra Metters of GalacticConnection.com, and this is going to be a pre-recorded interview for February 17th, 2017. And before I dive in and give you a lovely update on Magenta Pixie, I just want to remind everyone this is really an important time to continue to go within and release any kind of attachments or karmic disturbances that are coming up in your field. Remember, everything that you do is affecting anyone else in that band of frequency around the world, especially for those that are not awake. Makes the ascension process for all of us easier and, let's just say, less convoluted. And I do want everyone to know that some absolutely fantastic major events have occurred within the last 5 days, which have clearly cut a path in the road to allow all of us to move forward fully, completely, utterly for the ascension process. We are at a time where everybody is receiving a lot of intel. Ships are ready. They're on standby. We are all in a position where we are literally waiting for the green light for the events to start unfolding. One of them, I believe, and I want to talk to Magenta about, is the inauguration of Trump. I believe that's a node point. She's going to talk to you about that in a minute. Now, before I dive in, please go ahead and look at Magenta's website, which is magentapixie.com, and that's magentapixie.com. And we're going to be talking today about her book, which is Masters of the Matrix. And Magenta has a really interesting background. She was born in Staffordshire. You probably say Staffordshire, right? Okay. Yeah. In 1965 at her maternal grandparents' home. And her father was an opera singer and her mother was a ballet dancer. My mother was an opera singer.
Wow.
Even at the early age, Pixie had several imaginary friends whom she would speak with all the time, and she even remembers being able to move things with her mind. In fact, she showed little interest in anything other than science fiction programs such as one of my favorites, Star Trek, and The Tomorrow People. Unusual esoteric and supernatural events occurred once she was married, and throughout the 10 years of Pixie's marriage, such as out-of-body experiences, hearing, having visions, hearing voices, seeing people and beings, and knowing things before they even happened. She finally found out that her brother was also having the same experiences, many of them being supernatural occurrences. And how cool is that? She was able to embark on this journey of discovery with her brother together. That's a great blessing. One thing that she felt adamant about was that she would be the medium for other mediums. And her spirit guide, White Spirit, presented himself as a Zulu warrior in the fifth dimension. He said that they were currently in a rehearsal phase, and everything they experienced was a practice run for a time in their lives when they would this would happen to be real. He told them they would be told when that time came, and they would be moved into a place in their lives where they could fulfill their mission and help others. Does it sound familiar, folks? White Spirit evolved into a six-dimension white-winged angelic being and then separated into nine identical beings, each one with the ability to come forward separately yet maintain a collective consciousness. Hence, the white-winged collective consciousness of nine came into Pixie's reality. In April of 2008, she got the green light to go public and fulfill her destiny by becoming a medium for the mediums and delivering messages from the nine to like-minded souls such as all of you who were here to take planet Earth and humanity through this ascension process. I thought a perfect time, and she just told me just now that she was actually alerted to the fact that I would be contacting her for an interview. And this is such divine timing, huh? I just love it. So welcome, Magenta.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. And I think where we should start out is just talking a little bit about the guide that's really assisted you to where you've gotten to today, all the messages that you received. Do you have a name for him? Or you just call him the white-winged angelic being?
Well, when White Spirit told me that he was upgrading, he was leaving, and I was upset. But then he explained he wasn't leaving, he was upgrading, and that whilst the new being coming in would be a completely different and separate being from him, it was also an upgrade of him as he was an upgrade of me, or a future version of me. So it was really, the being was an angel that presented. Once this transition took place between White Spirit leaving and this angel coming in, it took a few days to transition. It was a very difficult time. I sort of shut myself away as I was going on, all this was going on in my inner space. When I saw that this being was all white and an angel, I kind of had this reluctance to accept that I was talking to an angel, because I felt, I can't talk to angels. It can't be a real angel. It must be something else. So I just looked at this being as a being that was white with wings, because I didn't, at that time, I wasn't able to actually own the fact that it was an angel, if you like. It seemed too much for me at that time. And then after a short while, it was a few days, it may have been more than a week, I noticed that there was more than one. They all looked the same, but they looked to be like a group. And that was when I was talking to a friend of mine who was a spiritually aware person, who said to me, "Can you ask your guides a question for me?" And I said, "What do you mean, guides? I've only got one spirit guide." And he said, "Oh no, they're always a collective." And I said, "Are they?" And once I became aware of that, then they showed very, very quickly after that conversation, they showed that they were a collective. There was a group. It looked like quite a few. I didn't know how many. And then I tried to really focus in on them and count them. Once they realized I was counting them, they presented as individual angels, if you like, for me to be able to count, standing in blocks of three. So there were nine, and they would stand all in a line, or they would stand with three in the front and then three behind and then three behind that, or they would stand on top of one another, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. So I knew. So we had some sacred geometric teachings going on there, but I didn't understand that. And it wasn't until much later when we talked about who they were, what their form was, why were they presenting as white-winged beings, were they angels, et cetera, et cetera, that I asked them to show me. They explained that their true form was beyond this form. So I asked them to show me their true form. And whilst they explained that showing me their true form would not be absolutely accurate because their true form, you wouldn't be able to see them in their true form. They would show me the closest that they could. So they then moved into sacred geometry and these three triads that would be on top of one another. And they would present in this sort of geometric shape, several geometric shapes. And then I would be taken into this sort of cosmic view where they were, I would lose them. The sacred geometry would be lost. And then I would see light and I would feel frequency and know that that would be interpreted as sound. So I know I was obviously going up the dimensions, but at the time I had no idea that that was what it was. And I was a little bit lost, actually, when they left the form of the nine white-winged beings. I felt as though my anchor point had gone. I liked to communicate with them in form. And that's a fifth dimensional communication, I now know. So I was much more comfortable with them as the nine. And I still prefer, well, not prefer, I still communicate with the nine, but I'm now quite comfortable when they disappear. And
I went through the same thing. I had this Lyran or lion being, very, very tall, white, blue eyes, that was constantly assisting me. And one day he came to me and said, you know what, you're getting upgraded. And I was like, no, you know. And when I asked him, who are you, he says, I'm you in the future.
Yes.
You know, so a lot of our guides are actually an aspect of ourself from some other space and time.
They are higher dimensional. And if they're higher dimensional, then they're in the future, because there isn't any time in the higher dimensions in the same way that there's linear time here. So it's the future, which is a big one to get your head around, which is, yes. You know,
so-called no time, you know.
Exactly. And it's a big thing for the starseeds, because their past lives, when they realize that they've had past lives outside of Earth and that they are star-seeded and they have had other lifetimes in other planetary systems in higher dimensions, which all the star-seeds have, that past life is actually your future life because it hasn't happened yet. Oh, so you've come from the future, you yourself, all the star-seeds have. That's why many star-seeds will look at this planet and sometimes they'll go through these moments where they think, it's so old-fashioned here. It's like everything seems so old-fashioned. It's like you have to drive cars and put petrol in a car, because there is a futuristic memory of other planetary systems where movement is instant and it's portal travel and it's, you know, by location, and there may be some kind of craft, but it wouldn't be like a car. So it's quite, you know, most starseeds, when they come into their awareness, will have this feeling that this is the past to them.
And it's so constrained here too, compared to other future lifetimes that we have experienced. There's such a constraining feeling being here. Now, let's go back a little bit, because I'd like to hear, what do you feel was the significance of December 21st, 2012, through your guidance?
Well, if you were to take the overview, and what I mean by that is, if you were to imagine that you are a higher dimensional light being looking down upon this planet Earth, and you are overseeing a process that all of humanity and Earth are going through, where they move from a separation into a unity, or they move from lack of memory into memory, there would be a foretold prophecy that would be put in place in ancient times, so that the consciousness of humanity would become aware of this prophecy, and they would then simultaneously create the prophecy. So there would have to be a time constraint, you know, a time, a period. And this would be in alignment with many cycles. So the 21st of December 2012 was a trigger point, so it would awaken memory and DNA. So 21/12 2012 is a geometric trigger. It's a code. The date itself is a code. The date is also a self-fulfilling prophecy, because if many individuals are bringing the same date forward, and this becomes global, if you like a video going viral on the internet, it's the same thing. It moves into the consciousness in a viral sense, and everybody is focusing on this one date. Then they create the actual prophecy that they're hearing about as well. So what this would mean is, it would be a focal point where there would be a shift, a change from one state into another. And so prior to the shift, we would have lack of memory, separation, and the withholding of the truth. And then after that date, we would have unity and memory and the revealing of the truth. But in the physical reality, we wouldn't experience that as an absolute moment, as in we wake up on the 21st of December and bang, we have all our memories back. We're in a state of unity and all the truth's been revealed that morning on the news. You know, it doesn't work that way. So whilst from a higher dimensional point of view, the shift is instantaneous. And there will have been a moment when the zero point energy was around humanity, as in the brain and the consciousness of humanity would have gone into a moment of zero, a moment of nothingness. There will have been an experience. Many people may not have experienced anything. It would have felt just like a normal day, because we experience linear time in the physical reality. Mm. So the way to actually look at the 21st of December 2012 is to spread it out. So from the overview, we would say, well, here's the 21st of December 2012, and this is going to span right back here to sort of 2000 and 2001, 2002, where things will start, possibly a bit further. It will really ramp up around 2008. It will ramp up really, really intensely around 2011. And then back this way, we've got 2013, 2014. So we're going to spread it out this way. So you've got this large window of several years that is the 21st of December 2012 energy. Mm. The experience somebody may go through in that moment, and they may have experienced it in 2011 or 2010, or they may not experience it till 2013. We have these different timelines that everybody's experiencing. This moment of zero point awareness, this moment of nothingness that may or may not be remembered, is something one will remember after that event. So there will be a processing going on, and that's where we are now. We're in the processing phase of what happened, but it isn't to be interpreted literally. If you try to interpret the 21st of December 2012 in a literal sense, you're going to get a picture that makes no sense whatsoever. And it will sound nonsense. And you will listen to people talking about the 21st of December and think they're all off their rocker, because it will not make sense to you. You have to move out of linear time, and you have to look at the metaphor, the geometry, the code. Everything is a code for your DNA to be triggered into its true form, its true memory. So 2112, 2012, or 2112, 2012, it's a code.
I totally agree. And thank you for that. That was so so articulated in a meaningful way. I think a lot of people were very disappointed because so much hype was placed on that one day. Yeah. I know for myself, the following morning at 8 a.m., I literally was driving down the freeway, and I was inside people's cars hearing their conversations. But it was, I was feeling what they were feeling. I drove by, you know, I saw a woman with a child that was running away almost into the street. I could feel and hear her thoughts. It only lasted for about 20, 30 minutes, but I felt like it was a glimpse of what is to come in the future. And, there's been a lot of hype about, oh, it was a failed moment in time, that there was so much work that went into it and never really kind of went off the way it was supposed to. So I wanted to ask you, what do you feel as far as, there has been very good messaging coming in regarding the fact that a lot of the human race by that time, excuse me, they were making the choice not to ascend. So what do you feel about that?
Well, yeah, they were making the choice not to ascend. On a conscious level, with full awareness, no, nobody would make that choice unless they were fully polarizing within a service to self energy. Then they would want something different. Looking at humanity that's in a state of non-polarization, waiting to polarize, they wouldn't have made a conscious choice not to ascend, because they wouldn't have known what ascension means. So they couldn't make a conscious choice. But if you're looking at the energetic that they put out through their emotional state, then that energetic becomes a choice because it shapes their reality. And from that point of view, they would have made a choice not to ascend.
You are awesome, Magenta. The people that listen to you, we love you because you're so, you just hit it right on the nail. You know, you're very articulate. I love the way you just describe things. So,
well, thank you. Bless you. Aren't you lovely? I don't want people to be confused, you know, because it's...
No, it's important.
Yeah, there's so many dimensions and so many levels to, you know, it's like you said earlier that 21st of December 2012 was a failed ascension. But there is a perspective where that may potentially be correct. If somebody was looking at the 21st of December as that date and seeing this in a linear sense and expecting, you know, fireworks to go off and them to come shooting out of their body and rise up into the cosmos, and it didn't happen, and they see it as a failed ascension, they can actually create that reality for themselves until they move into an awareness where they then look at the field of information in a new way. So what the nine have taught me is people have many beliefs and many perspectives, and it's always very helpful when you are wanting to stand as a conduit to bring forward higher dimensional messages, or as a spiritual teacher to help people to see these perspectives. So the nine taught me, with every perspective, is there a perspective where that is true? And they would show me the perspective, and they would show me through their eyes, if you like, through the higher dimensional, you know, expanded viewpoint, where is there a perspective where this may be true? Now, if one person has that perspective, then it's true for them. Therefore, it's a true perspective on that level only. But then when you look go above that level, it's a completely inaccurate and distorted and incorrect perspective from over here. So that's why some of my explanations are a bit convoluted.
No, it's true. And that's why in the spiritual community, we talk a lot about, this is my truth.
Yes.
My truth is never going to be the same as your truth.
Exactly.
That's not talking about like universal constructs that we all try to live by, but our truths are always going to be different, you know?
Exactly.
So now the other thing I loved in your book, which, by the way, everybody, it's called Masters of the Matrix. And it's a quick, simple read, so I enjoyed it because it gets it's so much like her personality. She just gets down to it. It gets into the meat and potatoes of it. But you were talking about the importance of zero point reading agreements that we make. Can you talk a little bit about that so people understand? How do we make our agreements? Why are we running into these crappy agreements that we want out of? Why do we feel like we're trapped and we can't get out of them? And how do we use zero point to assist us?
Well, the zero point field, the zero point energy, is a space where there's no time, no future, no past. You are in the absolute now moment. So therefore, in that moment, there are no agreements. There are no contracts. Nothing has been created there. It is a blank slate. Therefore, when you make an agreement, you come out of the zero point. You move slightly away from the zero point because you then come into more of a linear time, because an agreement is a contract between A and B. There is no A and B within the zero point. So the zero point field is a place where you can, or a state of mind, a state of emotion, where you can clear the slate, if you like, if you are genuinely in that zero point. And in order to access that zero point, and you can do this through meditation, that's probably the number one way to do this, but there are other ways. You know, there are certain spiritual disciplines such as martial arts and yoga and certain creative fields that can get you into this state. You can then, when you're in the zero point, you're in the center of the matrix. If you imagine the matrix as being a field around you, I know the matrix is also used as a metaphor for the system in the third dimension. And that's a sort of a negative term, you know, that's a metaphor for a negative matrix, if you like, one that we're controlled by. And that's an accurate metaphor, but that's not what is meant by the matrix in this book. The matrix is like your aura, I guess. But aura does conjure up a very sort of fluffy picture of this swirling pink light around you. And it's really a field. It's like a large wheel. It's like a large geometric field with many sections that you can examine and change. And, you know, it's a series of codes. You could actually perceive this matrix as numbers. Everybody will perceive the matrix differently, but when you're in the zero point, you're in the center of it. And when you get into the center of the matrix, you're able to change the matrix. So you can change your contracts and change your agreements from that point of view. Sorry, did you ask me why we make agreements in the first place?
Well, I was actually more, the kind of emails that I get over and over again are people that are feeling very stuck in agreements and relationships that they just can't seem to get out of, or they feel very targeted because I am well aware just of my own work that there are things that are actually inserted into our records without our approval.
And that's in the book, Masters of the Matrix.
There are definitely insertions that we did not ask for that do apply. So I'm kind of more coming from that stance. How does one free themselves from that situation?
Yes, I mean, that's in the book. The Matrix, if you actually imagine the Matrix to be a computer that is around you, and every single individual has this computer around them, and they are able to place coordinates into that computer then sets with those coordinates, giving out a certain frequency. That frequency is matched within the sixth dimensional field. Geometry matches that frequency, and then that geometry falls down the dimensions into the third dimension and sets in matter. That's you controlling your matrix. But there are groups of individuals who learned about this, you know, technology, if you like, where they could infiltrate the matrix fields of not just one individual, but large collectives of individuals simultaneously. So when they infiltrate the matrix of another, then they are able to control them. And then they don't just control that code and how they match that within the sixth dimensional field, they can actually control their incarnational line. So they control the agreements they make. So they can actually trap them in a reincarnation cycle, if you like. So how do you move away from that? That is by you becoming a master of the matrix. That's you taking the zero point, moving into the central point of the matrix field, and cleansing through that matrix, spinning the fields of your matrix, if you like, and you taking control of it. It's simply your consciousness that does this. Your consciousness is all powerful. It is the creator of your reality. So you are the one that places the coordinates into your matrix. But it isn't something you would just do once. Some people can. They can just sit there and just move into the zero point field and visualize the matrix, open up the heart and change coordinates, and then they're changed. And that's what perhaps somebody would say, I've had a massive shift. Mm-hmm. I've had a huge shift and my life has changed. That's because the matrix has changed permanently. But most of us would do regular work. We'd go into the matrix regularly. Some people do this daily.
Yes.
But once you are doing this, and it isn't just about your consciousness, it's not just about the thoughts that you have and the emotions that you have, it's also the actions you take. Because every single thing you do, everything you do, think, and feel, it's all going into the matrix field as a coordinate when days and days and days, and you have 2 hours where you feel really sad, that doesn't necessarily mean that that sadness will set as a coordinate, because it's been a 2-hour transient feeling that you've moved through. Predominantly you're happy, therefore it's codes of happiness that you are creating. But if you've been depressed for, say, 2 years, then you're going to be creating more of that through the codes. It's basically a technical way of describing the law of attraction. That's how it works. So how to take control of it is to know that you can.
That's so true too, is to know that you're not powerless.
Exactly.
Because as much as we appreciate the reality that there is conspiratorial behavior amongst an oppositional force on this planet, and all over the place. You know, that does not mean that we ourselves are not powerless, because each and every one of us does reach certain places in our lives where we can step out of conflict, we can step out of stagnation, we can step out of, you know, misery and, yes. and apathy and, you know, unhealthiness. We're already doing it. So many, I mean, I get these emails all the time too, where people are like, wow, it's an aha yes. moment. So I love the way you talk about the node points. And I really, when I was reading your book, I equated it to a new branch on the tree.
Yes. Oh, very much so.
Okay. I was wondering.
Ask a question. Just to say that some people, many people may know intellectually how to know that we can control our matrix, but they still can't do it. And that's because there is something there that still needs to be looked at. There's buried trauma. There's issues creating cycles that they haven't been able to move out of. So those people would need to look at that first. So everything would move into a layer. So those people, and if they can't do it themselves, then find someone who can help. And there are, that's what all the light workers are here for. So many light workers and spiritual teachers and healers are there, and they've been briefed years ago that this time would come and that these people would come to them for help, and they're ready to step in and help these people. And they all have these amazing models and therapies and templates to help people. So if you are stuck, all you
boy, we're having a lot,
and you will connect with that person. So yeah, the node points.
And just to insert, she says in her book, meeting a healer, calling a healer into your life to assist you with something that's really bothering you is a node point. And that's so accurate.
Absolutely. It is, because a node point is, if you were to see timelines, if you see a timeline separate, so if you like, A timeline, B timeline, C, all running alongside one another. So they're all separate timelines, and you know, you're doing different things in each reality depending on the choices you've made. Well, really, these are timelines. They don't just move forward on a one track. They actually converge together. So if you imagine a circle, really, it's more like a spiral, and it sort of looks in a way like a sort of like you say, a tree with branches. I mean, I sometimes see it as a little spider, you know, with a middle bit and all these like little pieces coming off. That's what it looks like when I look at this. It looks like it looks like a synapse, I guess, in the same way that you'd see in the brain, and that's kind of what it is. So they all converge together to the central point. Now, the central point of this convergence is where the same thing is happening in all the timelines. So meeting a healer, I mean, it may not be that way. You may meet 20 different healers in 20 different timelines. But if that healer is going to do something that helps you to change your life in a big way, and there's a big shift, and you feel right, everything feels like your whole life has led up to this point. Many people have this feeling, my entire life has led up to now. Well, it has, because that's a node point. So every single timeline, so that healer, if the healer is responsible for assisting you to make a huge life shift, then that's a node point for you. And you will know when you're on a node point, because you will feel it. Like, for example, when two starseed individuals get together and exchange information, heal one another, or together they have a conversation that is recorded and is used to teach others, like what we're doing right now, then that's a node point, because it carries more substance, more weight, more mass, more intensity. So it's a destiny. So your destiny isn't just one thing. It's my destiny to be this. Your destiny, there are a whole series of destinies, and that's what the node point is. It's a destiny, and you've got lots and lots of them, and we're getting tons of them right now. As we shifted,
and it's I guess it would also be like an accelerator point,
as well, because the node point, sort of, if you elongate the node point out, if you imagine this central point with all these little pieces coming off and you elongate it down, then all those timelines are sort of going deeper and deeper into these spirals, all moving into these like long spirals, these cones of time. So it's becoming intensified, and the individuals that are sensitive and that are aware and that are consciously co-creating their reality, they will be feeling this speeding up of time, and they will be feeling this intensity. They will be feeling these, you know, glitches in the matrix, like in the film where that black cat, Neo, is in the film, the black cat, and he sees it twice. And he says, oh, you know, she says, that's a glitch in the matrix. It means something's going to happen. That's a sort of a visual metaphor of you being aware of your reality. Deja vu is another sort of, memory awareness, which everybody experiences, third dimensional individuals experience and sort of dismiss it. But these are memories of the converging of these timelines. The Mandela effect is another way of explaining this.
I was going to say, we are so big time in the Mandela effect, and that is accelerating more so daily, that things are becoming uncreated. This matrix is literally in the process of collapsing in its own right, I should say. And so, you know, something I've seen this myself, where you go to look or access an article on the website, on some website, regarding a certain issue or a war or something very intense, and you go back and there's a couple sentences missing in that article that you swore that you had read, you know, a month ago. And this is because anything associated with these really horrific events that have occurred amongst all people, and I mean off world, okay, this is not just planet Earth here.
Yes, absolutely.
It is so massive, this whole project is to clear and cleanse this, you know, very, very deep darkness that has intruded all worlds. And so while it's being uncreated, it's affecting historical information.
Absolutely, it is. And it's affecting the global group humanity, and it's affecting individual humans as well in their path. And the thing is, on the one hand, it's normal. This happens all the time. This is the overlap of time. This is how time occurs, especially when you are moving from a third dimensional planetary system into a fourth and fifth, as you're moving through these different dimensions. I mean, right now we're in a sort of a third and fourth merge, really. If you can imagine the third dimension and the fourth dimension as two separate fields intertwining together, so we've got sort of, you know, more than one dimension going on in this reality right now. And that, like, that is looking at the consciousness and the awareness of humanity. When the awareness of humanity gets to a critical mass point, which it has done, where you know, a large group of individuals think in a fourth dimensional way or a fifth dimensional way, then that creates the matter, because this matrix that's around each individual, well, there's a matrix around all of humanity, and everyone's adding to that larger matrix. So you know, this is one thing that people will experience. But I say it's normal, but it's also all of these things that are normal technology, the normal, the way that reality works, these can be hijacked, and they can be, you know, technology can be created that that creates like a false screen of how things are, if you like. So the Mandela effect can be a beautiful thing because it's part of our awakening and it helps us with our memory, but it can also be a tool for confusion. It can be a tool for control. So how you deal with that is, this is why, you know, the nine sort of came through me and wrote this book, because being the master of the matrix is being sovereign. And when you are sovereign and standing in your own power, in that zero point field at the center of your matrix, you can't be infiltrated, you know, and that's what the star seeds are doing. This is why this, you know, cosmic battle, if you like, is being well and truly won by the individuals of the light and of service to others. And the reason why the battle is being won is because they don't see it as a battle. Once they release that and just realize that it's a game they created, and that's a very difficult one to get into, but you have to go there if you want to win the battle.
I think that, and the fact that working with so many healers and enlightened people, the one thing that I continue to see over and over again is this sense of we came into this field as the oddball, as the sheep, you know, the black sheep. Most of us have come from families where we weren't accepted at all from the time we were little, you know, because of the things we questioned, because of the things we saw, because of the things we said, you know. And so we come from a position of an inferiority complex almost. And it's so deep-seated because we are not of truly this reality. But we came here very specifically to assist this ascension process. And I kind of wanted to talk to you about, you know, how do you see incarnation itself? How do you see us actually incarnating into this matrix?
Wow, that's a big one. Well, that there's a lot of ways that there's a lot of perspectives to this. I recently did a series on my YouTube channel, the Blue Star Solstice series, where I touch on this somewhat. If you take the perspective where you incarnate directly from source, directly from unity, the oneness, into a physical incarnation, which everybody does, that's a perspective, then I guess the best way to explain that would be that you are somewhat spiraling down in frequency. So you would be absolute oneness and all things with the memory of being all things, pure point of view, where you would then separate, so you leave an aspect of light, feel like, and you would join with a free conception point of the mother that you are incarnating into, and then your sort of soul field will begin to merge with that that seed point, that conception.
Well, we're really having some internet issues.
Yeah, we are having some.
Keep going. It actually plays itself delayed after you've said it, for the most part.
Okay. So yeah, this higher awareness would lock into this individualized point of perspective. So you move from a large perspective where you know all things and are in all places. You are pure oneness, and you would then lock into an individual point of perspective, lock in with that incarnating soul, and you would move in and out of that soul throughout that conception point until birth, and you would continue to move in and out of that baby until eventually your perspective sets within the physical body. That's a direct source incarnation. But what is more more accurate when it comes to our memory and the linear level is a series of incarnations. So we would actually scatter into several points at once. What we really do is we are oneness and we incarnate into
several different aspects of yourself. Yeah. Sorry, folks, we're having technical difficulties here. Are you there? Oh, you came back.
Hello. Yes. What I was saying is, what truthfully happens is, if you were to look at planet Earth and there are 7 billion people here, as source, we would incarnate into all 7 billion people at once. And not just the 7 billion that are alive now, but we would incarnate into every single living human and plant and animal that's ever existed since the beginning of time on Earth and every other planet inside, you know, the multiple infinity of universes. We are all things. So, but what we do in order to learn, from source's point of view, source is learning all the time about itself. Even though it is all knowing, it is still in a place of innocence and naivety simultaneously because of polarity. So we would individualize within a linear stream. So we would incarnate into one planetary system and then have a lifetime there, and then have another lifetime and another lifetime and another lifetime. There's also the point of view where we incarnate into a higher dimensional planetary system, and within that particular society, within that particular civilization, they have incarnational technology where we can go to sleep in a sleeping chamber and incarnate, say, on Earth as a human, and then finish our life as that human and go back to the sleeping chamber and wake up, and it will be like we've been asleep for maybe 90, 100 years, when that particular being lives for 700 years. So 100 years would be nothing to them. There's so many different perspectives when it comes to incarnation.
That's amazing. Now, how do you explain the infinity loop that we've been in, where we've just been incarnating and incarnating and incarnating, you know, where they talk about, oh, don't walk towards the light, white light, because that's actually kind of a tricking of keeping you in the loop. What is your comment on that?
Well, there's more than one white light, and one may be a trick and one is the right one. So this again is to do with you taking your sovereignty, standing in the zero point and becoming a master of the matrix. Because if you don't have mastery over your matrix, over your field, then an outside source makes the decision for you as to whether you incarnate again or not. You aren't making the decision yourself. And this is all from a linear point of view. Group that forcing you to reincarnate. Can you still hear me?
I can.
Oh, good. Yes, it could be a service to self group trapping you and forcing you to reincarnate against your will. Or it could be a higher dimensional guidance system or a collective is making the decision for you to reincarnate in your best interests. Or it could be that you've got to the stage of individualization where you make the decision yourself whether you incarnate again or not. So from a linear point of view, there are all these different perspectives. And on the one hand, yes, it's true that many souls have incarnated against their will, if you like, because their incarnational line has been infiltrated in order to control. It is also true that individuals are completely free and have absolute free will and can incarnate wherever they want to from their own choice. And that's what being a master of the matrix is all about. And you don't have to leave your physical incarnation in order to make these choices. You can do it now. And that's what the ascension really is about. Ultimately, the crux of the ascension is you mapping out your reality from the point of view of being in the physical incarnated individual. So from a point of separation, ultimate separation as a physical human being, you do what source is doing and you create the reality for yourself from the point of individualization. And that's a huge, huge learning, because on this planet, we've had to, you know, reincarnate and go into a non-physical place in order to remap our new incarnation. Whereas when you are in an ascension process, you learn to create it for yourself. Mm-hmm. And there are issues there as well, because when you first learn to create for yourself where you are going, you might make a mistake. Not that you can make a mistake, but you might not make the right choice. For example, there's such a thing called death to birth conscious transfer, which is at the point of death, you focus yourself into the next lifetime you want. So it's like, I want this and I want this and I want to experience this, and you feel this as you are leaving your body, or in the few months or even years leading up to your body, you're planning out where your next incarnation will be. If you leave it to a higher collective, they're more likely to get the incarnation right, because it will be in perfect alignment with what you need. But just like a parent takes a step back, point where you,
man, it's raining here and it's snowing there, so bear with us, folks. The technical...
We'll learn from that, and it's not really a mistake, because it's all a learning curve. So there's all these different perspectives to look at.
Amazing. Amazing, because, again, you just have a different... such a multidimensional way of seeing incarnations, you know, because most of the time people look at it very linearly, you know, as far as how they arrive here. Now, one of the main topics in your book is all about emotions and how that is probably one of the key indicators of allowing you to be sovereign. So can you talk a little bit about that? Because I would venture to say any healer that's listening to this interview, that is, in my opinion, the number one core reason for pain, suffering, anguish, depression, you name it. It could even be like pancreatitis. It is, yes, ultimately always residing in the emotional, possibly mental body, but very much so in the emotional body. So talk to me a little bit, yes, about that.
When you feel an emotion, you give out a frequency. empathy. Emotion is a living thing. Every emotion is alive, and it has consciousness, and it has intelligence. So every emotion you feel, you are birthing a living energy. That energy moves into this matrix field. And as I said, if it's transient, it will just sort of float around. If it becomes more weighty, with more mass, more intensity, it will set within that matrix field. And then it will create a code. If you liken the matrix field to a computer, it will create a code. And then within the sixth dimensional field, that code will have a geometric match. That geometric match will then set, and that geometric match will filter down through the dimensions into the third dimension and create a situation or an experience or a thing that matches that code. And that code has been inputted by your emotion. It's your emotion and your thoughts and your visualization and your feeling, but the emotion sort of leads that. So your emotion creates your reality, and it doesn't just create an experience. It can create things in the body, as you were saying. The emotion can sit within the physical fields, and you know, outside of the physical fields, and come into the physical body. So anger may create an emotional code that may then set in the third dimension as a car accident, or as an argument with someone, or as cancer, or as the death of a loved one. Or, you know, there is no definite prediction as to what that set may be. This will be what is most in alignment with the reason why you had the emotion in the first place. Mm-hmm. What's the emotion linked to? This is why in the book, The Nine say, when you feel an emotion, it's not bad, because when you give this teaching, a lot of people think, right, I must never feel anger ever again. I must never feel fear ever again. I have to sit here in a state of bliss and happiness and joy.
Which is unrealistic.
It's a good reality. That isn't true at all. There is nothing wrong with feeling anger or jealousy. These are there to teach you. When you feel, say, let's say anger, when you feel anger, if you feel angry and you act upon it, and then you just carry on feeling angry or forget about it, or just think, well, it's normal, and you don't unravel the reasons why the anger's there, then anger will set in your matrix fields and you will create a vibrational match. But if you feel anger and then you think, okay, why am I angry? Why did I lose my temper last week and shout at that person and stamp my feet and, you know, throw things on the floor? Why did I do that? Why? I don't want to feel this way. Let's look at it. So we unravel the situation. And we can do this through meditation, through dreams, through talking, through writing, through listening to music, whatever it takes. You unravel the reasons for your anger. And when you actually discover why the anger's there, and you start to, either heal the trauma that's mirroring that anger, so there's a trauma there that you haven't dealt with, or whatever it may be a karmic connection with someone or something. When you start to unravel this, you do what the nine call, I can't remember the word they use. It's in the book, they call it, it's like when you unravel, integrate, that's it. It's integrate the emotion, the process of integration. When you do that, it's integration that sets as a code in the matrix field. It isn't anger. So when integration of anger is what sets. The code that's in the matrix is integration of anger. So then the sixth dimensional match will be integration of anger. So then the match within the third dimension will be a match to integration of anger. And what is that? That's learning. That's moving forward. That's growth. That's expansion. That's teaching. That's growing. That's service to others. So, you know, there's nothing wrong with feeling anger. It's there as a message for you. There's nothing wrong with fear. You will find as well that a lot of star seeds right now, especially advanced star seeds who have been, working for many years with this.
Yes.
You will find now that they're getting to a stage, and it will have been around sort of 2011, 2012, that they will have started doing this, maybe before. They will be working out their lower emotions through dreams or meditation experiences rather than in their real life. maybe not always, but a lot of the time. So this is why some people have horrific dreams and nightmares where they're battling these demons. It's because they're working out their anger and their fear in a safe zone. And then it's not infiltrating, it's not setting in the matrix, because when they wake up, they can work out what the dream meant. And then it's, again, integration of fear, integration of anger is the code that will set. So many of the star seeds that are now teachers and healers are creating a reality that's integrated. Because they've integrated, or they are in a process of integrating their emotions, their reality becomes integrated.
I got to add something to that that I realized, and it's something that came my way probably 3-4 months ago. We were having difficulty sleeping. A lot of us have been, I think we're getting past that now, but there was a period of time where everyone was complaining about, God, I can't sleep. Or if I do sleep, it's only for 1 to 2 hours. And they found themselves up from, say, 2 o'clock in the morning to 6 o'clock in the morning. And what I received as an answer from that is that we were actually creating a dream space state so that we could not be intruded upon on a mass consciousness level to make sure that we transitioned to where we are now for the ascension.
Absolutely. The nine call this the crystal palace. This is your safe zone. It does not join with the collective of humanity. It is private. You may have a collective dream space and you may have a private dream space. It's a template that is yours, because Source is a creator. And Source creates all, and you are the same thing. You create all, therefore you can
work. Magenta, come back to me. You can really tell the internet's been acting up so much lately.
Yeah, and it's that synonymous with the pineal gland. That is your crystal palace, is the site, the inner site, giving you a space.
Do you recommend people do a certain thing, like to make sure that they're in that clear dream space, crystal palace state before they go to bed?
Yes, that would be a good recommendation, but they can do this anytime. You know, they can, you know, if you're busy and you haven't got a lot of time, you know, and you can drive safely, you can do this while you're driving. As long as you can simultaneously look at the road, and you get to the point where you can drive a car, talk to your toddler in the back, think about your shopping that you're about to do, and create a crystal palace and sit in your zero point field. You can, you know, fragment into different aspects and work on all of them simultaneously. And that's the beginning stages of bilocation and trilocation and multilocation. And the star seeds are doing that now in their everyday. But if for a beginner, for somebody who hasn't worked with this, then always before bed is one of the best times, because you're tired and you're about to move into that zone, and you can actually create within the dream space what it is that you were last thinking and feeling about as you fall asleep. So yes, that is a good recommendation.
Perfect. And you're mentioning that more and more of us are teleporting or bilocating, that kind of thing. Do you feel that that's because all the different aspects of our being are unifying and working more
exactly
cohesively? Okay.
That's exactly why it's happening. You fragment before you individualize. As we individualize as a soul from Source, we individualize ourselves. So we individualize all the aspects. I mean, I have clients who come to me, and, you know, if third dimensional people could hear some of my sessions, they would think that, you know, we were all completely crazy. I have clients who come to me with, you know, sort of multi-personalities, and they will talk about sort of, you know, there'll be six women and six men that they are, and they'll all have names and they'll all be doing different things. These are extremely intelligent, advanced, balanced, sane, spiritually aware people. They are not people with personality disorders that have fragmented, which is the same thing, out of balance, without a central core. Once you have the central integral core, mm-hmm, then you can freely explore your multiple personalities. Everybody has these, and you can liken them to different parts of the body. You know, they don't have to be different people. They can be different organs of the body. You can communicate with the different organs of the body, the cells of the body. You can communicate with all the different emotions. So you could have anger, fear, happiness, jealousy, and they can all present as people doing different things. However you do it, whatever your process is the right way for you. And if you are in a state right now where you're thinking, I'm crazy, nobody does what I do, and if anyone knew what was going on in my mind, they'd think I was mad. If you are feeling like that, then you are on the right track.
Isn't that true? Yeah. I know, because so many different types of experiences are popping up now that people have never had before.
Oh, yes.
And they really kind of blow open their pineal, and then they're overwhelmed with all that they're seeing and feeling, in particular feeling.
Yes.
The clairsentience.
Yes.
Side of things is kicking up so severely amongst many starseeds right now. So,
yes.
How do you feel for, you know, whether they're advanced or not? What is your idea of what would assist us right now if there's a conflict between who we are, our enlightenment, our state of consciousness, which is, you know, at a fairly like neutral, nice humming along space, we're happy, we're enjoying, we really have gotten to know who we are, we've cleared and cleansed a lot of things, we've processed our feelings as much as you can do, let's just say, in this reality, because there's so many layers. But let's say you're surrounded by family members or spouses or children that are really creating a scenario where you're constantly jumping out of that neutral dimensional space, and you know that you're consciously, you're dropping your consciousness level because you're getting angry or frustrated or whatever. What would you say to your clients regarding that? Because that is, and I would say that's a very constant thing that's going on right now for a lot of us.
That will happen as part of the path. It's not a case of might this happen, it will.
That's so true.
The aspects of ourselves, so anything that's unhealed or anything that wants looking at, we're going to create that set within the matrix and create that vibrational match within our reality. So when these situations occur, if they're friends that are really annoying us or family members that are just, you know, not understanding and bringing us down, or children, sure, integration. I mean, very difficult for starseed moms that have, you know, children that play up and they don't get any time because their children are constantly awake. You know, I have lots of moms come to me. You are really looking at a powerful integrative situation, because you are integrating your spirituality, peaceful and lovely, but it can also be very chaotic. So you see the situation as a gift and you find a way to integrate all the experience that you are having. It's easier said than done, and very few people are going to be sailing through this. And I can honestly stand here and, well, I'm actually, I can honestly sit here and tell you now, I am not doing this myself 24/7 every single through it, but there are and you know, if I have lost my temper or, you know, done something I've done, then it's a massive eye opener. It's like, okay, you know, I've got to go back to the drawing board here. Why did I lose it like that? Why did I behave this way? You know, let's get the various aspects. And, you know, it's
I was
integration.
God, this internet thing is just terrible. I was going to ask you, Magenta.
Yeah.
Are you there?
Yes, I am. Yes.
God.
You'll have to do quite a bit of good editing on this one, won't you?
I know, man.
So you've got bad weather over there. We've got bad weather over here as well.
Yeah, it's just, it's been pouring rain off and on in Southern California, okay, for about weeks, seriously. So anyway, let's dive.
This is the infiltration of the other polarity.
Yeah.
You will find that when star seeds get to the point where they are teaching and they are moving into important node points where they are, you know, reaching many people and doing something important, such as an interview or, you know, whatever, writing a book, you will find that there are that are sort of guiding into this creative venture. And you will also find that there seems to be this polarity of these disruptive forces as well.
Yeah.
You're working with, and the higher you go with your light and your service to others connection, you can draw the opposite. And that's what's happening, you know, right now with the sort of bad connection. And what you have to do is acknowledge that and respect it and say it's fine, you know, I welcome you. Because when you welcome the service to self energy with open-hearted love, it can't take any nourishment from you. It's, you know, the service to self energy wants to feed on your anger, your annoyance, your frustration. But if you smile, and easier said than done, I know, but if you can do that, then yet again, you're in a...
Yeah, I had a friend of mine...
growth and expansion and integration.
Yeah, so I had a friend of mine say something like, from now on, say, hey, thank you so much for showing me that what I'm doing is really important. You know, so sometimes I'll go there when I'm having interference like this.
Your friend...
Are you there, Magenta?
Your friend's spot on. That is the absolute best way to see it. Thank you.
And your screen is frozen.
Yes, I am, yes. Can you see me, hear me?
I can see you, but it's frozen.
Yes, I was saying that's... Oh.
It's crazy. Well, okay, where did we leave off? Let me see. So you're talking about emotion. And, oh, I know what I was going to ask you. I was going to ask you, so at what point do you feel... we will begin on the other side of the veil, meaning let's say we've done as much work as we possibly can do. We go through the ascension process. What do you see happening with us on the other side of this ascension leap, so to speak?
Yeah, that's a wonderful question. I haven't really even looked at that, other than, you know, from one perspective, we are already on the other side of the veil. We're already there. But I know what you mean. There's a series of veils and there's a series of other sides that we're constantly moving through. It's really the journey that one needs to sort of focus on rather than an end point now, especially. But what I would see is everything you... are desiring, everything that you are creating is what you will achieve on the other side of that veil. And this is why humanity is becoming split, because there's multiple timelines and different individuals are going to experience different timelines because they're creating different realities. There comes the time energy, the service to self energy, and the unpolarized individuals in between split off into this sort of three-way reality. And it you can kind of see evidence of this now, you know, that the higher dimensional thinking service to others individuals are experiencing amazing life right now.
That's true.
Things are happening for them that they never dream of, and they are pretty much most of the time in a state of absolute happiness and bliss and loving their lives. And then you know, you've got the service to self individuals who have a completely different reality. They've been very, very power hungry, and right now a lot of them are very afraid because they're losing that. Others are resigned and realize that they've lost, and they're sort of thinking, oh well, you know, that's what's happened. So we've got to, you know, and then we've got the individuals in an unpolarized state who are in a state of confusion and desperately trying to find a way to create happiness and bliss. But because they haven't been able to open up to that expansion yet, and they're still in sort of, you know, trauma and reacting to those traumas, the stress that they're having is coming faster and faster than they've ever known it. So they're in a complete opposite state. However, many of those individuals are waking up all the time. All the time. But that group of unpolarized individuals are waking up.
Yes, I totally agree.
Every day.
There's so many new people.
Group waking yes. up and moving into. Yeah. And it feeding in through so many different areas of life as well. And life areas of life you wouldn't for example, television shows that are just sort of not particularly esoteric or spiritual or sci-fi, but that something that makes them think is coming in from looking at cruelties in life is waking people up, their compassion. And the beauty, health and the fitness, people are waking up because they've become ill and they're healing themselves through food or through yoga, or I mean every area of life has light there. So it's all around you. The triggers to wake you up all around every single individual. And
I even see it, Magenta, I even see it in the exchange between the whole Hillary and Trump situation in the United States, from the standpoint that it is unprecedented to see the consistency of communications where it is being requested, hey, let's not make this into a despicable war on our personalities or an attack on our you know, how we look or this or that or the other. Let's talk about real issues. And that's a radical shift that has taken place that people have actually been able to watch. And I think the other one is having a new president that's been using social media to try to communicate with the masses and actually do it directly. I don't know if you heard the latest Twitter, I guess Donald Trump's Twitter account was shut down.
I didn't know that. And I have to, oh, really? I lost you there again for a minute. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
You can?
Yes.
Yeah, I didn't know any of that. I didn't know Donald Trump had been on social media. And I have to say, I haven't really watched, followed anything, really.
I don't blame you.
Whenever a video pops up about...
I said, I don't blame you.
Yeah. But on a spiritual level of... Obviously, I realize how significant this is. And I feel that what's actually happened here, that there's been a huge shift, because what the general public, what the humanity is asking for is freedom. They're realizing now in droves that there is control. Even the third dimensional individuals who are not aware of any sort of, you know, spiritual awareness or angels, or they're not aware of science or anything, they are still aware of the control system. They can see it through the political arena and the money and the way that the system is set up. It's people have opened their eyes hugely. So what they have wanted is freedom and choice and the truth, you know. And so what's actually happened with the presidents over the years is most of them, not all of them, but most of them have been very controllable. So they've literally just been a face for the government. Even when Obama went in, even though his structure, his energetic structure, is a service to self structure and quite a strong service to self structure, he still had to make a choice that would ensure the safety of himself and his family and his loved ones. And so even though he did try and follow the mission of a service to self individual, he still had to keep within a structure. So he was still fairly controllable. Mm-hmm. But Trump isn't. And the reason why he's not controllable is because it's not because he... With Trump, if you were to threaten Trump in any way, if you were to sort of, you know, use the normal tactics of threat, like, if you don't toe the line, you're not going to be safe, he won't get that. It's not in his head. He is, he doesn't think that way. He is very much in the moment and will say what comes out of his mouth in the moment. And so therefore, he is the perfect president because he can't be controlled. He can't be controlled because his personality is, you know, an in-the-moment person. He isn't strategic in his thinking. He is, you know, being himself. And while many people may not like him, that's not the issue. The issue is, what does he represent?
That's exactly, you know, what I just wrote to someone the other day. Exactly. Yeah. It's what he represents. I'm not looking at him per se. I'm looking at the whole stage performance around him and what he's bringing into this soup that we call planet Earth.
Absolutely. It's but the thing is, when individuals see the president as being the top of the tree politically, that's why they're so upset, because they think their leader is not a fit leader. And from that perspective, that's, you know, a correct perspective. The truth of the matter is that the president isn't the top of the tree. There's like way more levels of I don't know what word to give them, but this structure of individuals that are controlling the planet are way above the president. He's just the face that is presented to the world. He's not the top of the tree. So, you know, those that are leading are not him. What's so great is that someone like Trump wouldn't see that. He would present himself as a leader. And from that point of view, he's going to be a good one because he's not controllable. Whereas if Hillary had got in, she would have been completely 100%. She would have fit within that service to self structure. She would have been controllable.
And it would have just been business as usual. This is another reason I'm excited, is that this is a radical shift.
And if Hillary had got in, it would have been more than business as usual. Yeah. It would have been
World War III.
Potentially in, but we were shifting in and out. There's been a bit of probably away from it, but there was still a connection. Now we've moved away from it again with Trump.
Okay, I missed all that because there's a delay.
Can we turn over
with the Hillary thing as to what you said, Magenta?
I was saying, when Obama got in, the World War III timeline was sort of, we were a direct match to it. When Obama got in, we moved away from that. Not completely, but we shifted into another potential that was equal to a World War III timeline. And for the starseeds that are, operating within awareness, they aren't on that timeline anyway. Their consciousness is not in a direct match to that. But that still would have meant there may potentially be a bleed through of timelines. If Hillary had got in, then potentially it could have led us all back into that timeline. But because Trump is now the president, we've moved away from that timeline again. It remains to be seen how this will go.
Yes.
Because obviously every single action and every emotion and every thought creates a whole new shift in the timelines. But the issue here for individuals is not, what's Trump doing? The issue is, what are you doing? That is the number one. Because what you are doing is creating your reality. And remember, there's more than one timeline. There are individuals that experience that timeline, and there are other individuals that will not. And it's a different reality. But we can, and we are.
So, Magenta, I lost you.
We are responsibility that we experience.
I lost you again. So what you're saying is...
Yeah, I thought you did.
Each one of us is going to experience that which we think, and we are co-creating with our future destiny, our future pathway. Is that what you were basically saying?
I'm saying that, yes. There is a slight exception to that. That's a different perspective. There are individuals that may be lining up with experiencing a World War III timeline on Earth. There are individuals who are not lining up with that experience. And it's difficult for people to see how to experience a different reality. The individuals that are unpolarized,
this is really bad.
If you imagine that the star seeds that are strong and sovereign train behind them, some of these are timeline of another star seed without creating it themselves, if you know what I mean. That's why the star seeds are here. That's why they're here. They're here to lead the time. So, reality for other individuals as well as ourselves.
I sort of heard that. So what you're saying is the light workers and the star seeds are here to lead, are you saying, the timeline for the rest of the individuals?
Yes, they're creating a timeline for Earth. There's obviously many timelines, but they can actually lead others. Others can catch on the energy of what they're projecting and follow that timeline and experience what they're experiencing, even if they're not creating it for themselves. They do it through catching on to the energy. That's the individuals creating their own unique template. So someone who is creating their own model of teaching, they might be healing, teaching, whatever it is that they're doing. They might be writing, public speakers, whatever. Someone else latches onto that template and follows that thing. They can actually experience that timeline. It's to do with a resonance between the DNA field of the person creating the timeline and the DNA field of those that are following that energy. And they don't even need to know that particular teacher, if you like, that because it's happening telepathically. Yeah.
Interesting.
So it's like a telepathic resonance. It's the same thing as DNA activation, if you like.
So they can actually kind of ride on the ascension stream of this other group.
Yes.
But if they have the preconceived notion that the end times is apocalyptic, then they will still probably experience a blip or a short sequence before they actually ascend, you know, fully to the other level. What do you think about that?
They would be creating a reality that matches their thoughts. But if you have an individual who truly believes with everything that they are that there's an apocalyptic end, they're creating the match to that timeline. But if you have someone who's frightened that there might be an apocalyptic end and they think that there's an apocalyptic end, but that person is a really good person, very loving, and is a wonderful mother to their children, then they're going to hop onto the other timeline and they're not going to experience an apocalyptic end because they're a loving, good person. So they're going to have that service to others energy in them. It's all about how they act and how they feel. So if somebody is feeling it's apocalyptic and they're angry and they're just dead set that that's the reality and there's no way that that can change and there's no way that they can change and they're doomed, then that's what they're creating. Yeah.
Very good. Very good. Well, so tell me a little bit about the animal kingdom. How do you see the nature kingdom, the animal kingdom right now, as far as how they're being impacted by these frequencies? And the reason I ask that is because there is at least a handful of us that have just spoken recently, and we have been noticing that our pets are really acting up. They're doing things that they normally don't do. And, you know, one part of us is saying, oh, they're trying to get our attention. But considering that I'm hearing that from a variety of different people, what do you think is going on with them?
Well, I think animals have always been, since the beginning of time, a really good indicator of what's happening energetically. They can sense the weather, they can sense emotions. Animals are really psychic, so you know, you can often see what's happening energetically by looking at your pets, looking at your dog or your cat or whatever. The pets that are close to us are a feeling the energy because they are an animal, but they also are very tuned in on their owner's energy as well, and they will either act as a polarization to their owner's energy. So if you've got a very depressed owner, you may have a healing energy coming from the pet, or you could have a match where a depressed owner creates a depressed pet. There can be, depends on the dynamics between them, but the pets are very much a reflection of us. The animal kingdom in the wild, that's very different. They are incredibly keyed into the collective consciousness of nature and the elemental realm. So what the animals in the wild move as a group, whereas pets have become individualized. although they do create a group within a family. So say if you've got three cats and a dog, in a way they will be a little group, but they are more individualized than the wild animals out in the wild. But they are all aware, because if there's a shift within the human worlds, there's a shift within the animal worlds as well. There's a shift up the dimensions. Pets will probably, most of them, be on their last life as an animal, and they will be incarnating as human next time. So there's a big shift going on with our pets, because they've lived around humans. They take on that energy. They're getting ready to be a human next time. So most people who've got a very beloved cat or dog and they're close to them, when they go, it's really, really sad. People are so attached to their pets and can be devastated when they lose them, but take comfort in the fact that they'll be coming back.
It's so true.
The second dimension.
Say that something about the second dimension.
The second dimension being the animal kingdom. And the human thinking of the animals.
Can't hear you.
Is a second dimensional way of thinking, because it's instinctual. So they're moving from the, can you hear me now?
No, I can hear you.
You can. Excellent. Yeah, I would say the animal kingdom is a second dimensional field, because they are instinctual thinkers. And so they're moving from the second dimension into the third, just as we are moving from the third, you know, through the fourth into the fifth. So we're all, you know, upgrading in a dimensional scale. But the wild animals will be a good indicator of weather geological, you know, movements within the area that they live, but also of energy as well. Yeah, the animals are a big, big clue for us. And if they're acting up, something's happening, you know, something's coming.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely feels that way. So now, what is your perception on the pyramids, the importance of the pyramids on this planet at this time?
That's really interesting. The pyramids, the original purpose that they were built for, which is to create a sort of an enclosure that would be a higher dimensional space for individuals to work with their psychic gifts or go into out-of-body experiences and astral travel. They created a pocket within that pyramid of higher dimensional space. So if you say the whole of the planet was third dimensional, but inside a pyramid you're in a fourth or fifth dimensional field, that would be a good explanation. But then we got to a point where the energies were raising so much on this planet that the pyramids weren't so much needed. They were really sort of ancient artifacts that were dormant, if you like, because the whole of Earth has become a pyramid now. We're all inside a giant pyramid, because that energy is now blasting onto us from the galactic core. Yet what I'm told from the Nine only recently is around the year, sort of switching between the year 2016 into 2017, is the year for activation of the ancient artifacts. So pyramids will be activated again, and we'll have a new use, if you like. I'm not sure what that use will be. When the Nine speak to me, when I'm shown something in the future, if it's something that is important for a service to others, energy, then if any single individual even thinks of that, then that can be, it's placed within the consciousness field. It's then available for others. So this is why we don't always know what's happening until it happens, because it keeps it safe.
Interesting.
It's the same reason why you were saying earlier about us being the odd one out in the family. We've been the odd board. People have looked at us and thought, oh, she's weird, she's odd, don't take any notice of her, she's funny, you know. And we've all felt a little bit like, oh, why doesn't anyone listen to me? I know what I'm talking about. But that sort of odd board energy was our protection, kept us hidden. Now we're shining. Yeah, it was keeping, it was there for a reason. We were supposed to be seen. We were not supposed to be taken seriously so that we could remain safe. But yeah. We didn't know that. We were like, we're here for a mission. We're here to do a job. No one's listening. That was the 1980s, 1990s, you know. But finally, and then the very person that you will have seen as the strange one, the weird one, they're the very people that you will be turning to now.
Yes. Gosh, thank you for that. That's awesome. I love that. What do you think about the earth changes? You know, a lot of people are very concerned about, you know, access shifts and earth changes and weather changes. Can you talk to us a little bit about what you're seeing, you know, from your messaging?
Yeah, I mean, the earth shifts in response to the collective consciousness of humanity, and the earth herself is a living being, you know, Gaia, and is going through the shift just like we are. So within this shift, it's possible that there will be some geological changes and some, you know, I would hope that we're not going to be moving into disaster type scenarios. And I have to say, whenever I've looked through the eyes of the nine and the information they've given me based on the most probable timeline, it is improbable that major disasters will occur and wipe out large groups of people. But what may occur are these smaller pockets of situations. So some individuals may line up with, you know, energetically as become a match to being part of Earth shifts. They are smaller, though. They're not galactic, you know, cosmic, huge, global disasters. I don't see that timeline. No.
Yeah. And in fact, you know, a couple comments to that. I mean, number one, there's so many light workers and healers that are taking proactive steps to make sure that doesn't happen. So that's number one. Yeah. That's been going on for quite some time. And
exactly.
I can totally attest to not only the work I've done, but those that I know of that have done a ton of work that that's pretty covered. I mean, this is one of the reasons why, although we've had so much upheaval and so much chaos and so much conflict between the opposing forces versus those that are like, you're not stopping me, I'm going through, I'm going to hit my mission, which is to help get this ascension process off the ground. What we have also noticed is we have a lot less cataclysmic earth changes. You know, even if we have these floods and hurricanes and tornadoes and tsunamis, it has become very rare to have massive amounts of people getting wiped out. And what I always ask people is, why is that? That's because, number one, there's a lot of us that are doing very proactive work. Number two, I totally agree with you. I think that the timeline that we are on now, it's just moving along very well. And so much has been done and the darkness has been eradicated so severely that we are really looking pretty now. And I do believe that that's part of the plan. It was also part of the Starseed's mission, was to make sure that any kind of severe earth changes were compensated. Anytime I speak with Gaia, she will say to me, I don't want that any more than you do.
Yes.
I'm working along with you guys. You know, yeah. I want to make sure that we all do this with ease and grace.
Absolutely. And the star seeds, there are a large group of star seeds that the nine call the grid workers. So I think there are many people.
I'm one of them.
Yeah. So they will be naturally tuned to the ley lines within Gaia, and they will have all sorts of strange feelings, like I need to go to a certain place. Yep. I don't know why I need to go there. I need to touch this particular rock or stone. I need to take some crystals to this river. They will have been doing this for a long, long time, burying crystals in certain places. They'll be getting downloads about grids and portals becoming active, and they have to follow this because they are creating a grid. But there is also, there has to be a sort of a karmic backlash for infiltration of Earth that humans have have you know, indulged in. So when you look at some of the plundering of Earth and the cruelty to the animals on the Earth, and you know, the taking of Earth's resources, living out of harmony with Earth, there will be some karmic backlash to, you know, humanity, I guess. Now, the star seeds that are grid workers and light workers will more than likely bypass that karma to a point. They will witness it, and they may witness it very closely. They may see their loved ones going through that karma, but it's more than likely that they will sidestep and they will not have a direct karmic hit, because they're lining up with something very different, because they're living in harmony with the Earth. Humanity is here as a guardian for planet Earth. So if humanity have lived as a guardian, as the grid workers and the light workers are, they're not going to be lining up with the karmic backlash, even though that is coming at humanity, because humanity as a collective has not done its job as a guardian for this planet. It's done the opposite. So there is going to be some karmic energy there. There has to be, to teach those, you know, to show those who did not live in harmony with the Earth. But it isn't something the star seeds need to worry about, because they're lining up energetically with a different reality.
Yes. And so talk to me a little bit about the new Earth and how you see the new Earth. I'm sure you get a copious number of messages regarding that.
Very much so. And it's here and we're already on it. You know, prior to 2012, it was like a sort of a template. And this is where the 21st of December 2012 really comes in as a shift point, because that was the date when the aware star seeds knew that they were stepping on to that new Earth. We had this sort of bridge, the nine would call this the rainbow bridge, very synonymous to the joining between the left and the right hemisphere of the brain as well. So we were, you know, waking up synapses within the brain in our own biological expansion at the same time as this metaphor of this new Earth. So prior to 2012, the new Earth would have been forming, if you like. But this is all metaphor, because we are actually looking at dimensions and parallel realities here. But the new Earth would have been forming, and we would have been adding to it, and then we would have walked across a bridge from the old Earth to the new Earth and settled within the new Earth. We're now on that new Earth. So this planet is sort of superimposed, if you like. There's two planets within one. You have a third dimensional planetary body, and you have a fifth dimensional planetary body, with the fourth dimension being the bridge between the two, the rainbow bridge being the fourth dimension, which is why many people say we're switching from third density to fourth density, because we are. That's a different way of looking at the picture. Mm-hmm. Many people are getting the downloads that we've moved from third density, third dimension, through the fourth dimension into the fifth. But if you look at this planet as being superimposed as two, third dimensional thinking individuals are living on the third dimensional planet. Fourth and fifth dimensional, fifth dimensional thinking individuals are living on the fifth dimensional planet. Fourth dimensional individuals are sort of wavering somewhere on that rainbow bridge in that fourth dimensional field that's also planet Earth. So we're on it now. I don't see the new Earth as being something that we're going to go to. We're already on her.
So do you see the third dimensional planet kind of falling away, or how do you see that dissipating?
Many different ways of looking at this. One could see it as a complete disintegration and it disappearing. One could see it as moving away from the fifth and going off somewhere else. There are many different metaphors. The nine would show me... what they would want to see for a service to others vibration would be, from their perspective, they would want this large number of individuals, polarized service to others individuals and unpolarized, that are leaning towards polarization of service to others, or that are jumping on that sort of karmic train and following the leaders of this ascension. What they would like to see is all of them existing on the fifth dimensional Earth. That's what they would like to see, and that is the aim of the service to others energetic, mm-hmm. and that's the aim of all the star seeds that are in connection and in communication with that. the most probable timeline is that not as many make it as we would like.
That
it's not the most probable. So we are sort of somewhere not quite where we would have liked more. We're not quite heading towards as many as we would have liked. However, it's still a good amount. And for the third dimensional Earth would then, I guess the best metaphor would be that it will, move away and reappear somewhere else as a new planet, if you like. That's the metaphor of individuals will reincarnate on a new third dimensional planet. What's actually happening is they're going back to the beginning of a cycle. That's what's really happening. Mm-hmm. We're looking at cycles of incarnations here rather than planetary systems, even though the planet is part of it. And the planet is a good way to see it because we do like to see things that make sense to us third dimensionally. But really, this is about a cycle. And at the end of this cycle, we will have many individuals that will have made an ascension process. They will have gone through a raising of awareness on a soul level. They will have stepped from one sort of step to the next step up. The star seeds aren't included in this unless they've lost themselves. If they've become aware, they're not included in this because they've already done the ascension process. They've already made the step. So they are already sixth dimensional and possibly fifth dimensional individuals already. Mm-hmm. So when they come to the end of the cycle, they are expanding, but they're not upgrading necessarily. They will then move away and then find the next place that they will go and give their assistance to. What we're here for are the individuals that are in a state of upgrade. So the ones that don't upgrade will go back to the beginning of a cycle and be a new soul from the beginning of individualization. So it's very important for the soul because a soul aims to individualize. When a soul is moves into an inception point, so it's the first time that soul holds individualized memory, and each incarnation, the soul remains within the individualized memory of the last incarnation on a linear line. That soul is in a state of upgrade. The souls that don't make it will then not be that soul anymore. They will recycle, if you like, and begin anew in individualization. So the aim of the soul is to individualize, but there will always be another opportunity and another opportunity and another opportunity. And on a linear level, while the next opportunity might not be for 26,000 years, on a higher dimensional level, they can't, these opportunities are coming in waves all the time. So
this is why there's such a, I'm going to use the word frenzy or obsession within the starseed community, that, you know, they get through this window of opportunity, because not only is it the end of an Earth cycle, but it's the end of all kinds of different planetary, cosmic, universal cycles. This is a really big deal, this one, because it's not just an individual planetary ascension. It's a matrix worldwide. Every star, everyone is involved in this ascension, and it's being done like it's never been done before. So I find it interesting what you're saying about the fifth dimensional so-called Earth being superimposed upon the third, because right now, if you talk to any starseed or any enlightened person, they're gonna say to you something along the lines of, you can see more clarity when you walk outside. The colors are a little bit brighter. The peace is unbelievable, at least for me. But we're still kind of, there's a knowingness that there's something even way beyond this that's coming. And before we tie this up, I think we're getting a little bit close, but we had so many interferences that we're going to have to cut out a bunch of this stuff. But I would like to see what your perspective is, because I believe we've been, as people have said, we've been through ascension this whole time. It wasn't like this one spot in time is the ascension, but we are getting to a place where something fairly radical is about to happen, is my opinion.
And definitely.
And in my opinion, it's like what happens with that moment in time is probably something that we have never experienced before. So I was curious to hear what you're hearing regarding that.
All of those, everything you've just said is completely accurate, and I've got the same information. The nine call this the great reveal. And it's the great reveal that has not happened before on this planet, because this planet has been enshrouded in darkness and ignorance. And now that is changing. The great reveal is, you know, lifting the lid, moving the veil, you know, however you want to see it, on information about everything, who you are, why you're here, where you're from, how this planet's been conducted. It's been hidden from the majority of individuals across the entire planet. And so that great reveal will be an event in itself because of what it creates. If you look at the election, that when Trump, you know, was elected as the president, look at the fallout from that it created amongst so many people. And that is simply a presidential election.
Yeah.
What's coming is so much bigger than a presidential election. But what the service to self energetics are aiming to do is be as gentle as possible, because the aim is not to step over the free will of the individuals. Now, on the one hand, free will is saying we want the truth, we want a great reveal, but then there is also a free will that we do not, the service to others, individuals do not harm or shock or frighten, you know, humanity. So the great reveal needs to be done in as gentle a way as it can be, which is why it may appear to many star seeds and light workers that it's been delayed and delayed. It hasn't been delayed. It's being given all the time. It's just that the service to others energies would like as many people aware as possible, so that the great reveal is a smooth ride for them. The great reveal will be a big thing for everybody, but the star seeds are well equipped. It's almost like the star seeds have their equipment. They have their bags packed.
Yeah.
They have everything in order. They're wearing the right clothes. They've got everything ready. They have the tools. And there are all these other individuals that don't have the tools, which is why the star seeds will be needed.
Yeah.
And this year, 2017, is the year we're stepping into this energy now, big time.
Yes.
You know,
totally
because of everything that was manifested in 2012 from the star seeds, the individuals that are creating the timelines for this planet. When I've talked about going into the matrix, creating a code, and then that code sets in the third dimension, we are moving in these 4-year jumps at the moment when it comes to the manifestation of those timelines. So what was created within 2012 on a global level, looking at the starseed consciousness only, that's now coming to fruition this year.
Ooh, good. So, interesting.
So what did the star seeds, or the beginning of the fruition at least, but what did the star seeds want in 2012? What was it that they were looking for? What was it that was in the consciousness of the star seeds?
So that's now playing out, is what
you're
saying.
That's playing out, yeah, this year. Yeah.
That makes sense. Why 4 years?
Well, because I wish I could answer that properly. I guess the only way I can answer it is 2012 was like, if you see our energy as a planet, but really it's not the planet, it's the whole solar system and the galaxy and the way that the universe is set up.
Right.
There are many, many ways that you can view the evolution through the cosmos. But one of the ways is to see us as being in a spiral. And 2012, we hit, if you see a spiral as rings like this going round, yeah? In 2012, we hit a ring. And then the 4 years in between was in the middle of the ring. So it was like a harmonic.
Mm.
So we hit a new sort of dimension, if you like. And then we're in a harmonic. And then 4 years later, we hit the next ring. And then the next one is 2020 into 2021. But then there's going to come a time when the rings start to get bigger. So it won't be 4 years, it'll be 8 years, or it actually goes along the Fibonacci sequence. I'm not particularly good with maths, but all I know is that at the moment it's a 4 year, and then it will be another 4 year, but after 2021 the gap's going to get a bit bigger.
Interesting. From the messages that I've been getting, one of the things that we're going to be challenged with, all of us that do receive messages and are at this point aware of those messages, is we are going to be challenged with recognizing that all of the basic tools and constructs that we have depended upon, or that we have used as some sort of parameter in which to receive information, I am being told that we are going to be really challenged. For example, Fibonacci, geometric shapes, these are all things that still are of this world, of this matrix,
and have been
unfortunately tainted and corrupted, and there is there's no room for them in the new world. So I want to stress that to everybody that's listening, that, you know, don't get super hung up on the golden mean and the Fibonacci and the geometric shapes, because ultimately they were created to constrain and unfortunately used to bind us in case we were not, you know.
I would say they were infiltrated.
Infiltrated, yes.
Yeah, these are original organic structures of
beautiful, you know.
Yeah, beauty and light. And they have been infiltrated, all of the systems, whether words, religious, you know, teachings, the geometries, they've all been infiltrated. So what one does is when one takes sovereignty and learns how to walk in alignment with energies, you can take a structure and find the light within it, and move that's been changed. You can learn when you start to use the pineal gland.
Yes.
For its true reason, you'll be able to see within structure, see the patterns. You know, it's like Neo in the Matrix starts to see the green sort of, you know, you'll be able to see the energy within structure. You will be able to see where the light is. So it's not that you're not using these models anymore. It's that they will change for you, because you will only see them as light. And that's been confusing for people, because there are light workers and there are, you know, dark workers, if you like, using the same models and using the same words.
Yes.
Yeah,
think about what you're saying too. The word God.
Yeah. Okay?
There is so much attached to that word.
Yeah, totally. So, and there's a lot of negativity.
Blood, there's battles, there's dogma, there's torture, and that's what I mean by the Fibonacci and the symbols. There's so much attached to that. It's this huge, massive construct.
It is, and it's there in everything. I had somebody say to me the other day, "You must be of the dark magenta." I know you probably don't mean to be, because you seem to be very sweet, but I think you're channeling, you know, some dark energy, because you use the word adept, or the nine use the word adept. And adept is used by the Freemason, you know, and the Illuminati. So what the nine have said to me is the original use of that word was for those that were following the path of the light, that were, you know, becoming the apprentice, if you like, spiritually. They became an adept, because there's an adept of the light and there's an adept of the other light. There are two constructs of light.
Yeah.
One is positive and one is negative. And they look very, very similar. There are two constructs of darkness. One is positive and one is negative. They look very, very similar. You can't, when you're looking clairvoyantly, you won't be able to tell the difference between the light that is negative and the light that's positive, but you can feel the difference.
Yeah.
That is why it's so important to get the emotions into the higher emotional body, because if you can't tell the difference between your physical emotions, you can't tell the difference between guilt and anger or fear and joy, and you aren't processing your emotions, you're letting your emotions control you. You are not going to be equipped with the tools you need to be able to feel what is negative and what is positive? What is the service to others frequency, and what is the service to self frequency? And to a starseed that has worked with this energy in a disciplined, committed way, in absolute surrender to the mission that they were born here to do, those individuals will be able to feel the difference. Therefore, they will always be guided. So trust that alignment. If you've worked for that alignment will now work for you. You can't be misled.
Beautifully spoken, again, as usual. And I do feel there's so much, for example, the individual that wrote that to you, there's so much fear those that are seeking as to, well, gosh, who do I discern and who do I trust and who's good and who's bad and who's dark and who's light? It's all this polarity thinking. Whereas, you know, the most important thing is go in your heart and feel, you know, trust that you have this amazing radar system that's intrinsically built within your body that we've grown accustomed to not using, trusting, or believing in because of our programming, but it's still there. It's still there and it's intact and it's wonderful when you start aligning yourself with it.
Absolutely.
So, and not from your brain. That's what I'm talking about. So, you know, if you have a preconceived notion about, I don't know, deer, and you see a deer, don't go in your head, go in your heart. What is it you feel about that deer?
Yes, absolutely.
And you'll get the answer like that.
Very much so. The whole polarity thing is part of the journey.
Yes.
And it does teach you, and you do learn, and that's how you learn what your emotions mean and where your alignment is. So the polarity is part of the journey, but then there comes a time when you have used polarity as a tool and now you look for unity so that you find that within yourself.
Beautiful.
That's the next step, you know, and these are all these steps to the ascension, and they don't have to be done in any particular order. But the most important thing is what you're feeling. And if you are feeling that one particular spiritual teacher, you're not resonating with what they're saying, then it may well be that you're meant to be following someone else, or really ideally looking at your own teachings. I've had people, you know, write to me saying that they don't resonate with anything that my videos say. They disagree with everything. You know, they don't know why I'm insisting on continuing to make videos because I'm misleading people. And I don't always reply because it doesn't help to get into a debate. But then I've had people come back 2, 3, 4 years later, the same person saying, I don't know if you remembered me when I emailed you 4 years ago, and I just want to say that I'm really sorry. I've been off on a journey and I've now realized, and then I remembered the things you said in your video, and then they've come back. And that's fine. That's a good thing. It's like, you know, it's not a bad thing to not resonate with someone. It may be that you're not ready yet to listen to that person. There may be a different book or teacher or some experience you need. Trust what you feel, and you will come back to where you need to come back to. The other thing I will say that's really important is right now, everybody does have this feeling of urgency. Like you were saying earlier, you know, you haven't got much longer. You've got to wake up. You've got to get your ascension tools ready now. You know, there's a window of time and that window is closing. And whilst there is a truth to that, and that energy and that feeling is there to get you to move and get you to take action, you are taking yourself out of the zero point when you allow yourself to move into that vibration. You are also creating an energy where you are going to miss the boat because you're constantly late and you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. Yeah. So while you can take that urgency on board, the truth of the matter is within the zero point, all is in divine timing. Nothing can be missed. You are never late. You will come to the point at the right time. And it's very important to take that, you know, and always go back to that point, because that's the point that will give you the action. When you surrender into all is, you know, in divine timing, as long as you're not using that to not take action, you know, as long as if you really move into the accurate zero point moment, which is everything is in the right time. Everything will happen when it's meant to happen.
Yes.
When I was writing my book, I was getting a bit panicky. I was thinking, I really wanted my book out by this date because, you know, people are emailing me and they need the answers to what I'm writing in the book. So I was so used to getting a download, writing it up or speaking it and getting it out as a video. So for me to wait several months to release my book was really difficult for me. I wanted to get it out immediately because I wanted the people to get the information. But the nine would say, when your book is released is the right time. And as long as I was hurrying myself, I was going to hinder myself from writing because I wouldn't be in the zone. So I had to then absolutely surrender to the process and think, okay, it will be ready when it's ready and I will trust that it's the right date.
Yes. And we need to do that. We need to do that. And, and to comment also with what you're saying, when messages come out and when you're listening to a video, one of the most important ingredients for anyone that's seeking truth, anyone, is to have acceptance that there are all different sorts of ways to see, hear, and experience the growth that we're going through. So it doesn't mean that like Magenta's wrong and she's not adept and she's of the dark.
Yeah.
It means that she's at a different frequency than perhaps that guy is, and they don't mesh because it's like they can't communicate.
Yeah.
It's not that she's bad and he's good or whatever.
Exactly.
If we can teach people to have more acceptance of one another, this is what we're going into, is a galactic realm where we must learn to do that and not sling a bunch of crap at other people because you don't agree with them.
Yeah. And if you do see this set of symbols as light, symbols of the light, and this set of symbols are Illuminati darkness, then that's the reality you're creating for yourself. And you're going to be, oh, that's great. Excellent. Oh, no, that's awful. That's fearful. And you're staying in polarity. Where the truth of the matter is that all of these teachings are both. They are coming through from a service to others collective, and they are coming through from a service to self collective. If you want to use, you know, God and Satan or whatever, both of these entities will give you the same teachings. Divinity is divinity, and whoever reaches for that divinity, whether they're doing it for service to others and wanting to help others or doing it for power and control, in this dimension, both of those calls will be answered. There is no judgment to who reaches for divinity. So you can be a dark magician or you can be a pure light love worker. So both of these structures are using similar terminology and similar symbology.
That's and
similar
true.
Things. So you have to discern, you know?
And on top of that, all of us that are really working hard to reach our level of enlightenment on a daily minute-to-minute basis, we have to look at what we've created in our other realities. Most of it, if you're really honest with yourself, the majority of the time you will find that you might have made a mistake, but you didn't do it deliberately.
Yes, of course.
It was like you screwed up and you, oh my God, I made a mistake. Okay, you know. So it feels to me also at this kind of time where everything's really ramping up is we're consciously and unconsciously releasing those lack of forgiveness of ourself for things that we're not even consciously. I mean, we're talking like ancient stuff here that we're really trying to clean out our closets and do as much work as we can so we don't have to do it in the next journey.
Yes.
You know? So.
Absolutely. And, you know, it is important to know that there is a time window and a period when all this needs to be done.
Yes.
And the way to get there is to, you know, not get hung up on deadlines, if you like.
Yes. And support the healers and the practitioners because they are here to assist us all.
Yes. And they work so hard.
It's funny because I was told I'm a healer for the healers. And I'm always promoting the healers because they completely changed my life when I was literally just dying of pain. 3 years in bed and many, many healers coming in and out of my life, changing my life in that split second. So,
wow.
Well, Magenta, you're amazing. And again, I've been following her work. If you don't see her, we do blog her on a fairly regular basis on galacticconnection.com. You can reach her at magentapixie.com. She's also selling her book, which again is Masters of the Matrix. Hopefully people can read that without the glare too much. Can you see that? Okay. And she is just, in my opinion, on the cutting edge of a lot of the information that's coming out here. Love to possibly reconnect with you in the future when we don't have so many electronic problems and Wi-Fi issues. Yeah. But we should stay tuned definitely for the Ascension and what how everything unveils, because I really do believe that this next 30 days is a really interesting time to be alive. I mean, more so, I'm getting excited just to see what's going to unfold. Stay tuned to the Trump inauguration, because I do feel that that's going to be a biggie. And that's on the 20th of January for you folks that are on the other side of the pond. It's on the 20th of January, and it's at noon hour.
Wow. And I feel that the changeover, the Chinese New Year changes over at the end of January.
That's right.
As well. I believe it's the 27th. And I didn't realize the nine told me that the 2017 was the year of the Phoenix rising, because we've got this sort of nine cycle and the Phoenix has gone into the ashes and it's rising again. I didn't realize when that download came through and I released that video, I didn't realize that it's actually the fire rooster, the Chinese year of the fire rooster, which is a phoenix.
Awesome.
So it is the Chinese year.
It's all so perfect, isn't it?
So yeah, January will be the end of January. It's almost like there's a bit of a lull now. We can feel the high energies, but it's like they're just sort of sitting there and we're just feeling them.
Yeah.
And you know, there's, you know, things going to be happening, you know, later. And the spring equinox in March as well is a significant.
That's really significant.
Really. Yeah, yeah.
And I have to say, I just, you know, read and received intel regarding Trump and the fact that he had a whole room full of media and journalists. And he basically confronted all of them and said, why would I even answer these questions when not only did you misquote me, but you're putting out lies about me, and this is completely not assisting and helping the public. And I really don't want to play this game anymore. And I'm paraphrasing him because that's not exactly what he said. But my point is, that is huge change.
Yes.
Huge
yes, change. Because he's letting everyone know that the media are distorting messages. Well, we all know that, but some people don't know that. So to hear the president say that,
who's always been part of the distortion.
Been part of the distortion. This is why I was saying earlier, Trump is his own person.
Yes.
There's no control around him. He's doing and saying what he wants to. And he's taking his job seriously.
He is.
As well. You know, even if people may not like him, he's still taking his job seriously. And he's not being controlled by anybody. He's saying what he wants to say.
Yeah.
So it's very interesting.
It is. It's going to be really interesting. And for those of you who don't like him, just try to look at this from a much more macrocosmic perspective, because that's how I'm looking at it. It's really important to see some of the changes that are already starting to take place. God, I just read yesterday he pulled somebody else into his cabinetry who is very forward-thinking, somebody that we would be backing. I can't think of his name right now, but I thought, oh my God, he's already made an announcement of bringing that individual in his cabinet. So anyway, it'll be interesting to see how this unfolds. So please support Magenta. She's just really dedicated to what she does. And she does YouTube recordings. Is it once a month?
I just do them as often as I can.
Oh, whenever they come in. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sure everybody's familiar with her, but check her out on YouTube as well. She's great. And for all of you, you know, sending you lots of love. And if you do feel like you are compelled to try to relate more and connect more with the heart, I'm thinking I do have a formula called Connecting with the Heart, and it is designed to activate your emotions, really get you to kind of connect the mind and the heart together and start working on some of the stuff that's residually there, but never really been fully embraced, I guess is the best word. So as usual, thank you for all your support. Check us out and all of our services on galacticconnection.com, and we will talk to you next week, same time, same place. And it is BBS radio station 2, Tuesdays from 3 to 4:55 for this radio show. Thanks again, and we'll talk to you soon. Take care.